Don't mind me, there's a bird in my bathroom. It's standard practice. Just need to get ready here. Take my shoes off. My pink bag. joking. It's just an illustration. Just get in the bath here. Oh, let's see what we got. Oh, nice and warm. Got my little giraffe I like to play with. Got my yellow fishy, put in the water, stick it on the bath. Don't forget the bubble bath, hey? A little bit of bubble bath. Yeah, what else we got here? Oh, my favorite little duck. I know you gents don't keep secrets. You all play with your favorite little ducks in the bath. But let's see. Little starfish. Oh, and my wife, she's so loving. She brought my digger. Love to play with my digger. Little dig holes in the water. Oh, my dusty armpit cleaner. Just to clean these armpits. Oh, clean these toes. That black stuff here in my right in the corner. Oh, no, gotta get in there. Clean there. My nail clippers. Do you guys clip your nails in the bath? Maybe not. Please, I know someone took a photo. Don't put this on Facebook. This is the last time. Yeah, so we're here. It's lekker. I brought my bathroom here. Just enjoying it, getting clean. Get granny fingers. I don't know if you guys stay in the bath for a long time. You get a few granny fingers. And then, let me climb out quickly. Whoosh, there should be splashes, but sound effects aren't working. Dry myself here. Shave. Don't worry about me, I'm just looking in the mirror. Man, I look awesome. And then, ready for the big night. A little bit of Alexandria. Yeah, put it back in the bath. Okay, and we are ready to go. Now that I feel fresh and I feel clean, all that effort, nice half an hour bath, you can see what I play with while I have bath time. You can see how I clean myself and I love a hot bath. You know, I love to go for it. I've now dressed up and I'm ready. Now just hang on, sorry. I actually just need to get in the shower after I've been in the bath. Just hold on. Okay. Can you hear it? Just stand in the shower. I've got to rewash. I forgot my toys. Oh, anyway, I'll just clean myself again. Okay. I'm over. I'm done. Okay. Now, let me ask you. Who in this room, okay, and we offer great counseling. Okay, we've got great counseling. But who in this room takes a bath and then gets out of the bath and takes a shower? Now, if you're new here at this point, do not put your hand up because people are going to be like, they're going to look at you funny. But who does that? I mean, honestly, who would take a bath, take that half an hour to clean everything, you know, all the nooks and crannies and everything, and then get out of the shower, dry yourself, get dressed, get undressed, and then get into the shower again? Who would do that? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? If someone did that, wouldn't you think that would really, really be ridiculous? And let me say, in this room, it's okay to do that in your bathroom. It's not okay to do that in your life. It's not okay to do that in your relating to God. And yet everyone in this room does that. We all do that. We all take a bath and we all clean ourselves and we all fix ourselves. We all make ourselves better. And then we get out of our spiritual baths and then we say, okay, God, I'm ready for you to clean me. That's what we all do. And for many of us sitting here tonight, I can imagine you would say, ha, and that's why Christianity, that's why this Jesus thing, that's why God is not for me. It's one of the major reasons why we would say that's not why God's for me. I have to clean up, you know, my act. I don't fit here. I'm not like these holy people. It's not for me because of me. Now, when you look at the scenario, that's really unattractive. You know, when you look at someone who has to clean up their act and clean up their lives the whole time and then come and let God clean them, that's not attractive. That's actually off-putting. And for many of us, we say, God is not for me. This whole relationship thing with Jesus is not for me because of me. And I've got to clean me up. And yet we all know that we have stains. We all have these stains that we can't get rid of and these spots that don't wash out. And so what we do is we highlight our good parts in order to feel clean enough. And so what we actually start doing is we become inventors. Okay, now an inventor is someone that creates something, like in order to see that we're okay with God. We become these spiritual inventors. So I don't know if this is you. So, Lord, if I come to Easter and if I come to Christmas, you know, just twice a year, then I can come to you and then you can forgive me. I don't know if that's you. Or maybe it's, Lord, if I give to the poor, you know, and I look at that guy at the robot, hi, Craig, I give him a bit of cash, then I can come to you on a Sunday or whenever, and then you can clean me. Or maybe you sit here and you go, I got New Year's resolutions. I mean, isn't it interesting that every year we make New Year's resolutions and we make a different resolution because we know that there's a stain or a nook or a cranny or a spot or a something that needs fixing. So we make these New Year's resolutions, clean, clean, wash, wash, lots of effort everywhere. And then we come to God and we say, I think I could have fixed my life up. But then it comes to the next year, 2017, and we get a whole set of new New Year's resolutions. Or maybe it's our bedtime prayers. You know, Lord, I say bedtime prayers every night with my kids, or I say grace for what we're about to receive. Lord, may I be treated like, amen. Now I can come and stand before God. And so what happens is we become these inventors, and it's this give and take relationship with God. And yet we stand, we kind of stand insecure, but you know what we're really doing? Can I say, you know what we're really doing in our relationship with God? We're guessing. That's what we're doing. We're guessing. Because the big question is, when it comes to our relating with God, how much is enough? Okay, so how much money do I need to give to the poor in order for God to kind of accept me? And I kind of guess my way through that. Or how much wine can I drink before it's like not okay with God? Or how many, I know when asked at this side of a relationship with God, ask how many women can I be with at once? How far can I go with this woman before it's okay in God's eyes? Like you're guessing. I was guessing. Or when it comes to the poor, how much am I giving? If I give 10 rand, is that enough? Do I need to give 100 rand? Oh, I saw that guy next to me in my rearview mirror and he gave a leopard, you know, and I only gave whatever's the 10 rand, I can't remember. How much prayer is enough? And so what we end up doing is we end up guessing. When we look at this scenario and we got to clean ourselves before we let God clean us, we end up inventing things in our own mind. We end up in this give and take relationship with God. And then we come to God and we're like, okay, are we okay? Are we good? Have I done enough in the bath in order to stand under your shower? That's kind of what we do. Now, I want to say that there was a guy named Paul, okay? And Paul really, really struggled with this himself. And he wrote a letter to the church in Rome. And now he didn't actually write a letter. He had 25 years of ministry experience. And he had a guy called Tertius. And Tertius wrote this letter while he dictated. And it took him 3 months to write this letter while he was in the city of Corinth. And he thought about this person in particular. He thought about the person who needs to clean themselves before they let God clean them. And he speaks about this person. And I want to just pick up a little passage and speak about this person. And this is what Paul says. He says, brothers and sisters, he's writing to these people in Rome, in the Roman Empire. It's a really central church in that day. It was really expensive to write this letter. And he says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my heart's ache, my heart's brokenness, and my prayer to God. This was in his prayer life. This is the kind of person he would pray for. Okay, this is really interesting. It's for the people of Israel. And this is what his prayer was, that they may be saved. Now, I don't know, you may not know a lot about the Bible. This may be your first time here. But let me tell you, you wouldn't pray for the people of Israel. They were they were God's people. They were God's chosen people. They had the law. They had God backing them. They were the holy ones. They were the light that all the people far from God would look to. And Paul prays this prayer. I actually pray that the people of Israel, that this kind of person would be saved, which means that they weren't saved. That this kind of person who creates a system in order to get clean, inventing, but then standing before God and guessing, this is the kind of person that my heart aches for. This is the kind of person that I've been praying for. He goes on to say, for I, Paul himself, can testify, because Paul was one of these people. He says, I can testify about them. Guys, this, that they are zealous for God. Okay, whoa, Paul. Hang on. There's a kind of person who is zealous for God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I meet a person zealous for God, I'm like, this is a salt of the earth kind of dude. Like, he knows a little bit about the Bible. Like, he uses words I don't understand. Like, he helps out with the poor. Like, he reads a little bit and he prays with his kids and he does this and he's enthusiastic and he is zealous for God. And Paul is saying, guys, this guy is not saved. This guy is not right with God. I mean, when I read this is shocking. My prayer and my heart's desire is that this kind of person would be saved. He's zealous for God, but his enthusiasm, all that he does for God, is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God, and they sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Since they didn't know, in this church in Rome, he's speaking about this kind of person. They didn't know that there was a way in which God could make someone right with himself. They didn't know about that way. They saw a cross, maybe as an ornament, then maybe turned into some jewelry 25 years later. They didn't know the meaning of what happened at the cross. They didn't know about God's way of making someone right with God. And so look what they do. They establish their own way of getting right with God. They don't submit to God's way of making people right with him. They establish their own. So this is what they do. They take baths, and then they get out of the bath, and then they stand under the shower. Now you look at that kind of person, and you say, that is ridiculous. They invent systems in their relating to God, like in order to get right with God. These Jews, you know what they did? They had over 600 laws that they had try to obey and try to subscribe to. And it just became, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus goes hard after this. It just became more and more and more ridiculous. It became more and more and more and more legalistic. Look at that word. They established their own way of getting right with God. Now, I don't know if you know the singer. I used to sing a couple of his songs, but I just enjoy them. It was really weird. But in Jerusalem, or in Rome, in this Roman church, one of the worship songs, at the bottom, the title was Frank Sinatra. And one of those songs was, I Did It My Way. And so we sang songs today. They would sing, I Did It My Way. Okay, now that's a joke, so you can all laugh. But that's what Paul is saying. There's this kind of person that he is praying for, that his heart breaks for, that is zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, because they didn't know what happened at the cross. They didn't know the way that God wanted them to get right with God. And so they establish their own systems, their own little rules, their own little practices. They bath, and then they go to the shower. They clean themselves, and then they go to God so that he would clean them. They didn't know. Now I want to ask you, do you know God's way of getting right with him? Maybe I mentioned something at the beginning and you were like, I do that. Easter and Christmas, poor. I read my Bible every now and then. I come to church. I'm zealous for God. I'm enthusiastic. But it's not based on knowledge. Do you know how God wants you to get right with God? So the next verse I'm going to share with you is the pinnacle, it's the pivotal point of Christianity. It's God's way of getting right with God. It's Paul is writing to this church in Rome, and he's saying, guys, you may be zealous, you may be enthusiastic, you may be all of these things, but I want you to know, this is how you get right with God. It always has been, it always will be, and it's always going to be. So this is what he writes. Christ is the culmination of the law. And as a result of that, all who believe in him are made right with God. To this Roman church he writes, Jesus, this guy who lived and died and hung on a cross, he is the culmination of the law. He is the purpose for which the law was written. He exists to show you, you can't keep the law. You know you're unclean like I'm unclean. You know you need a bath in order to stand before God. And Christ is the culmination. Christ lived a life so perfect, so faultless before God, that you could stand right before God, that you don't need to create systems, that all who believe in Christ are made right with God. That is it. In Rome, they would have read this, been like, so you're telling me that person who is zealous for God, but like he's doing all of these things, he's washing, he's cleaning, he's serving, he's reading, he's praying, he's obeying, he's giving, he's doing all of these things. And the person who's not doing all of those things, but trusts and puts his faith in the shower of the cross, that's the one who's made right with God. And Paul would say, yes, submit to God's plan of righteousness and don't establish your own way of getting right with God. You see, these guys were doing and doing and doing and doing. But this kind of person who bypasses this bathroom story says, God says, come as you are. That's what he says. And so in summary, Paul's speaking to a person that because of his ignorance of the cross, that because of his ignorance of the way in which God wants us to get right with God, what he does is he invents his own ways. He invents his own ways to make things right with God. And so he has these bath little strategies, and you may have yours and I have mine. And Paul himself, the person who's writing this letter, was the Hebrew of Hebrews, the Jew of Jews, the Pharisee of Pharisees, the scholar of scholar. Like, he ticked all of the boxes. And he himself says, that's why I can testify. I was like that. And if there's anyone you should pray for in the local church, if there's anyone that your heart should break for, it's the person who thinks he needs to be moral. He needs to be good enough. He needs to fix his life. He needs to make a resolution. And then he can come and stand before God. That is the person that Paul says, I'm praying for and my heart breaks for. Because you will find this approach tiring, burdensome, exhausting. It's going to burn you out. You're going to try and try and try, and you're going to end up guessing, and you're going to feel inadequate. And you never know, when am I good enough, Lord? You're going to look over your shoulder in fear. How many prayers did I need to pray? How much money did I need to give? When is clean, clean enough? And you will be exhausted, and you know what you will say? You will say these words, throwing in the towel, this whole thing is not for me. And I have seen many of you come out of school chapel scenarios and go to varsity and you throw in the towel because your zeal for God was not based on knowledge. The knowledge of Christ and a relationship with him by sheer grace. And so you're put off. But I want to say tonight that God's actually put off by the same reasons that you are put off. Did you know that? God is actually put off. If you say this is Christianity, if you think that it's about keeping rules and fixing your life and making resolutions and trying harder and harder and harder and harder, well, God looks from heaven and he's put off by the same reason that you're put off. And that's why he made another way. And that's why he has another plan. And that's why it's so important for you to answer the question, how does God want me to get right with God? Not how does man, or how do I, or what do I think, or what do my friends think? You know, God is put off by the same reasons that you are put off. And so if you can identify with him, and he can identify with you, I want to encourage you, if you're here for the first time, we are so glad that you are here. And I want you to give him another crack in this series. Let me ask you some of these questions to see if you fall in this scenario. You know, to help you think, what is your bath before you shower? So let me ask you, what do you feel as you sit here tonight? What do you feel you need to do in order to approach God tonight? Do you think you need to read your Bible? Do you think you need to know more? Do you think you need to dress better? Do you think you need to hide your kind of past? What do you think it is that you need to do tonight in order to actually approach God? What's your bath before your shower? What do you feel, What part of your life is full of zeal? Maybe let's look at it another way. What part of your life is full of zeal and enthusiasm for God in order for God to like you? You know, kind of like scales. What part of your life is full of zeal, full of enthusiasm? I mean, people kill in the name of God. That's what they do. And they think that that's what makes them right with God in order for God to like them. What are you using in your life as leverage? What are you using in order to impress God? You see, you may be sitting here tonight and you may say, I always thought I had to bath and clean and do these things, and I just, it was burdensome. My heart was dead. Dead works, dead religion, dead. Like incense, all, it's dead. Like I always thought. I thought this was the game plan. I thought that was the way that God related to us. The good are in, the bad are out. But who is good enough? And so we're all guessing. That's what I thought. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I thought I had to fix myself. I want to say from this text, if Christ is the culmination of the law, if the law exists and us falling short of the law exists in order to show us that Christ is the only plan that can cleanse us and make us right with God, the take home, if you forget anything tonight, the take home for you tonight is to come as you are. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is for the burdened, the broken, the tired, the zealous, the enthusiastic, the trying treadmill, the over and over and over in your life. That's what Paul is saying in verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the law. Come as you are. Don't go through a bath and then come to the shower of God's grace. This is the way. If you would just come as you are and stand, He will cleanse you. Now, if we in this room believe that Jesus really was the fulfillment, the person who lived the life that we could never live, and that died the death that we actually deserve to die, if we actually believe that, everything would change in our relating to Him. You know, if you're saying this is not for me because of me, if you believe that there was no cleansing strategy that you could adopt to fix things with God, you would give God a second chance. If all we needed to do, if what Paul is saying is true, if all we needed to do was to trust in the way God has decided to make us right with God, let me tell you how things would change in our lives and in this community. We would stop pretending. If we knew, I just need to come as I am. You would stop pretending. You wouldn't need to come and stand and it's like, how's it? I'm Ryan. Hey, how's it? What do you do, Ryan? I'm a pastor. Oh, really? You're a pastor? Oh, you know, the good things you do. You know, and we start pretending. And it's like, buddy, you don't understand. My life is broken. My wife and I are in counseling. My kids are like all over the show. I'm like drowning. I just need to come as I am. You know, we would stop really pretending. We would stop as a people. If we just came as we are, we would stop comparing. Yeah, I know you come to church and you think, jeez, that's a big Bible. You know, and so the youth, they pull out their phone. Well, I got my Bible on my phone. You know, we start comparing. We start comparing who's holier, who's more righteous, who's better at that. We compare and compare and compare. If we knew that this was true, come as you are, we would stop comparing. We would think, really, anybody is welcome. If I'm able to be cleansed by just trusting in the plan that God has provided, which is to say, you know, God, I actually trust that Christ lived, historically it's true, that He did die and He was resurrected, historically it's true. I actually believe that that makes me right with you. That's it. We would really think that anybody is welcome, that anybody has a shot, that there's not like, hey buddy, you need to obey those five laws first and then you can come to my church. You know, like, I'm scared to bring you because you're still smoking. Like, yeah, we laugh. You come as you are. That's what the Bible's saying. We would pray. Look what Paul's doing. What is he doing in this text? He is praying for people like this. He is on his knees saying, oh my gosh, Lord, I sat with him at the coffee shop, and he thought, if I come to Easter and Christmas, if I fix my life, if I sort it out, what do I need to do, then he'll get right with God. But he's guessing and he's inventing these bath-like strategies. We would pray for people like that and say, God, please, he is zealous for you, and he's doing all this stuff, but actually, he's bypassing Jesus. He's bypassing the way that you've chosen to make us right with you. He's not submitting to the right standing, the righteousness that you've provided. You may say this, I don't know if this is you, but this has been me. I don't know as much as these people. I'm not going to join a small group, or I'm not actually going to come to church because I don't know as much as these people. So before I come, I need to get to know more about this whole thing, and then I'll feel safe to come. I don't know if that's you, but that's definitely me sometimes. Like, hey, I'm not as up to date as these guys. They're using language I don't understand. Come as you are. Come as you are. This come as you are. It heals our drivenness. I know for many of us, December was bad. It was bad. For those of you who are Christ followers, it may have been bad. You may have indulged. You may have done all of those things. And you know what I hear come out of your lips? Ryan, I'm not good enough. I need to fix my life first. I need to bath. I need to clean myself. I need to wash. I need to do something. I feel inadequate. December was bad. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I slept with. You don't know how much I drank. I was out of community. It was a bad December. Paul is saying, buddy, come as you are. So maybe you say, it's not for me because of me. Maybe you've been inventing your own ways that have been leaving you guessing. But because of Christ, because of what he's done, we can come as we are. Now, I want to finish off by telling you a story of my son, Josh. He's 3 years old. And, you know, every day I get home and Kirst has it on the calendar. Like, we bath from about 4:15. So we bath, Josh and Maddie, and it's a lot of fun. And then we get out of the bath, and Kirst goes and starts cooking, and I'm playing with the kids, helping out. And I see Josh, he slips past me, and because there's two kids, it's man-to-man marking, but because Kirst is busy cooking or whatever, it's now zonal marking, so I'm like just checking that no one kills each other or whatever. Josh sneaks out to the back or whatever, and we can see through our window, and he starts playing in the mud. He's just had a bath, okay? Ah, check this, I'm a dad, I'm cool. And he's playing there, and he's digging, and he's having a bath, and I mean having a ball, and there's like three little pot plants there that he's digging and digging and digging, and I mean it's been a little bit of rain, and man, I'm checking Maddie, I'm not even thinking. And my wife says these words, it's dinner time, and I'm like, whoa, you know, this is going to get real. And Joshy, he hears those words ring through his soul, and I see him panic, like... And he starts like rubbing, and like he can't get his shirt off, so he doesn't know how to get it off yet. And he's like, he's just making it worse. He's actually just making it worse, honestly. And then I see this, and this breaks my heart, eh? We've got like this little wall, and he goes down and he starts hiding. And that's what he does. And you can all go, oh, because I'm also getting sad. But he starts hiding. So I. Like, as his dad, I'm like, this is not on. Like, honestly. I know, look, my wife is awesome, eh? But she can give a clap, eh? I've seen a good clap. And by the time, it's hectic, it's stressful in our house. So I walk over to him, and I say to him, you know, he didn't know that I created the perfect solution for this 3-year-old mud pie. So he didn't know that I had invested into an EcoSlim Zola Round Toronto stainless steel jet stream shower head. I mean, it's a little bit more flashy than this. But he didn't know that Dad went at great cost to himself to get this. Can I say it again? EcoSlim Zola Round Toronto stainless steel jet stream shower head. He didn't know that. And he was there with effort and trying, and I'm sure in his 3-year-old mind, he was thinking, why do I even have to clean myself anyway? But he knew he was dirty. And so I went to him and I said, buddy, you don't need to hide. You don't need to clean yourself. You just need to come as you are. And you just need to ask me and I will help you. So I took him into our shower, and it actually does this. It comes off the wall. You guys are out if you don't have this. It's in fashion. And I put my kid against the wall and I turn around. And I was like, psh, and I had fun. He's like, I couldn't really hear him talking, but it looked like he was having a lot of fun. And I'm like, psh, and it gets under everything and the toes and the whatever. And psh, psh, quick, quick, chop, chop, not a big spiel like bath time. And this is what we do in our relationship with God. We think we need to relate to Him by fixing our lives and cleaning things up and taking a bath. And you know what it is? It's ridiculous. Who does that in the real world? And it is ridiculous when we do that in our relationship with God. When our Father has more than a stainless jet steel shower head at great cost to Himself, He gave His Son Christ. And He washes us in His blood. And He lived a life that we will never ever live. And He died the death that we deserve to die. And if you would come as you are in your hearts tonight, and you just come before Him, He will wash you clean. And when there was a hymn writer, an old hymn writer that got this, he said this: just as I am, just as I am, you will receive. You'll welcome, pardon, cleanse, and relieve. Because of your promise, in Christ I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray together.